Hello, and welcome to People Profit Planet. My name is Christina Anderson. I'm the Communications and Marketing Coordinator for the Office of Sustainability, and I'm here with my co-hosts.
Alejandro Galeana Salinas. I am the Communications and Marketing Support.
Yes, and today we will be talking a little bit about, Alejandro has some great articles for us today about different sustainable initiatives throughout some major cities, and a few tips for sustainable living. But before we get to that, I just want to make a few announcements about some stuff that the Office of Sustainability has going on that's really exciting. So we finally have an Instagram, so you definitely need to follow us on Instagram. It's Berea College Sustainability, and we're trying to post more on there. So follow us, and we'll follow back more than likely. And then... You've probably heard about our bike repair workshops that we have going on around campus. So we have two this semester, and the bike repair workshops are limited to 10 people per workshop. And the first workshop is September 26th, and it's at 5:30. Each workshop is going to be at 5:30, and it's going to be like an hour or two. And then we have four spots left. So we had 10, and now we have four. So definitely make sure to email Oksana about that and reserve your spot. You should be able to just go on your email and search for her email. And it's on our Facebook page as well. And then our second bike repair workshop is going to be October 17th. And we already have six people for that one as well. Mm-hmm. So there's only four spots available for that one too. So if you can't make it to the first one, go ahead and reserve your spot for the second one. Because we're running low. So make sure to do that. And we have the Minimalism documentary coming up on October 1st. And I'm super, super excited about that. It looks like it's going to be so, so good. So make sure to go to that. It's going to be in the Appalachian Center?
Yes, Appalachian Center.
Appalachian Center. Is it like 6:30?
6:30 to 9 p.m.
6:30 to 9 p.m.
No, that's a lie. It's from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. There will be snacks, a short introduction, the film itself, and then a discussion afterwards.
Discussion.
That's why it's an allotted time.
Yeah, it's a lot of time. But if you just want to come and watch the documentary itself, or just come for the panel discussion, just come for whatever part of the documentary you can come see, because I feel like it's going to be a super important documentary just to see. Especially for Berea College students who, you know, Berea College has this dedication to simple living. So I think the Minimalism documentary will tie great into that. So those were just a couple announcements that I had. So before we get into these documentaries, these articles that Alejandro has prepared for us, we are going to be listening to Earth, Wind, and Fire by September. So here we go. And we're back. So, Alejandro, if you want to go ahead and talk about the articles that you have to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah, here we are. So, I was doing some research, right? And I was just looking around, and I'm still caught up on Chicago because it's amazing. And I will advocate for anyone to just go and visit and just check it out because it has just a lot of amazing attractions, and they're just so sustainable. So when I started reading this, it has Chicago, the Green Building in Chicago, Illinois. It's been more than a decade since Chicago became the epicenter for LEED certified buildings. It opened the Chicago Center for Green Technology. It's really focusing on green architecture by implementing the Green Permit Program, and it offers an expedited permit process and the possibility of reduced fees for green projects. Chicago has the most LEED certified projects in the U.S. with 295.
Oh my gosh.
So that's like the epicenter in the U.S. essentially, you know, for just LEED certified things.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's so cool. That's definitely like a big citywide initiative that had to go down to like have that become a thing for sure.
Oh yeah, so. Yeah. They definitely know how to use their space. I think they have like a bunch of eco garden, just rooftop mm-hmm. gardens as well to make use of that space. You don't really see that as much in New York, but they're doing that in Chicago, so really cool. Then there's a focus on wind energy in Corpus Christi, Texas. It's also known as America's Wind Power Port. Corpus Christi houses the continent's first on-port wind farm, and the port serves as a shipping hub for wind turbines and also wants to harness Texas winds to generate more clean energy in what is already the nation's top state for wind power. Additionally, Texas A&M University, Corpus Christi, houses 11 vertical access wind turbines that produce 92 kilowatts, which makes it the largest installation of its kind in the nation. So, I mean, there's a lot going on in these major cities in the U.S. And another place that I'm looking to move post-college is Denver, Colorado. What they're doing out there is called, I don't know if it's pronounced xeriscaping, xeriscaping. Mm-hmm. And essentially, Denver has pioneered a type of landscaping designed to conserve water known as xeriscaping. Besides spreading the idea to nearby dry climate states like Arizona and Nevada, Denver created a program to make it easier than ever for residents to xeriscape around their homes. The city's water board has developed easy-to-follow downloadable plans and resources so that every resident can remodel their yards. The city also has a xeriscape demonstration garden that is open daily for residents that appreciate a hands-on tutorial. So they're, you know, really putting this out to the community so they can start.
Nice.
You know, we did mention in, you know, some episodes back that, mm-hmm. you know, most of the water that is used in a household goes for the lawn, essentially.
Yeah.
Just the upkeep of the lawn.
This kind of relates to the, we have a rain barrel now mm-hmm. at the Office of Sustainability, and yesterday I learned that one of the big reasons, first off, there are some states that actually outlaw rain barrels, which is really weird because
yeah.
it's like you're just collecting
rainwater.
You're collecting rain.
You're not supposed to do that in some places.
Yeah,
like, it's outlawed, yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy to me.
Yeah.
And one of the benefits that I learned about, you know, having a rain barrel is that it not only, like, reduces the amount of water that you're using from, like, your municipal pools or whatever,
mm-hmm.
so that's really great, but it also prevents like flooding and stuff out into the streets. So like when there's a really big like rainstorm or something, all the water that's going from like that goes, you're preventing the water that's coming from your roof to actually be out into the streets, because in some areas that don't have very good like sewage and plumbing, Sustainable Foods Coordinator Josh Gozy at the office, he talked about how in like I think it was like the Northeast, they have a lot of problems with like sewage backing up and getting into the streets if it's like
oh,
even
wow.
just like a little like, if even if it's just, like, an inch of water, like, just that much, like, floods terribly, like, the streets.
That's so really gross.
If everyone, So, like, if everyone had, you know, a rain barrel, that would prevent some of the rain that's, you know, being produced from getting out into the streets and flooding everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, that's, I didn't even know that. That's another, you know, super cool.
Yeah.
You know, thing that just happens. Yeah. That's really cool. So, another thing they're doing is in Long Beach, California, they're harnessing a lot of solar energy. Mm-hmm. It says photovoltaic systems on the structures of the Long Beach Convention Center and Long Beach Airport aids California standing as the top state for solar energy. The convention center houses one of the largest public facility solar installations on the West Coast, generating 1 million kilowatt hours of pollution-free electricity. Meanwhile, the Long Beach government set up an easy-to-follow manual helping residents apply for the Residential Renewable Tax Credit, which offers a credit of 30% of qualified expenditures for a solar system from the federal government. So that's California. Come on. Like, they know what they're doing right there, you know? The government is literally subsidizing some of, like, some people so that they can, you know, become more sustainable. Like, that's how it should be, honestly. Yes. I mean, especially right now. I'm going to get political. Especially right now that, you know, the North Dakota Access Pipeline, that situation is happening. And in my home state, this also gets very personal, because in my home state of Georgia, there was just a rupture of another pipeline. So, you know, so you got Native Americans protesting this pipeline that's going through the reservations because they know what's going to happen. And then literally, like, a week later, it happened in Georgia. Like, the pipe literally bursted. And now gas prices are at $10 a gallon. I told my parents that was going to happen. And I told them, hey, go fill up your tanks because you need to get to work, you know, and get some, gas.
Yeah, gas gallon containers.
Yeah, gas gallon containers to take some, because it's about to get at $10 per gallon, you know. And over 300,000 gallons were pumped. And, like, Georgia and Alabama are right now in a state of emergency. Like, literally.
Oh, my gosh.
They're in a state of emergency because so much oil just spilled out into the water systems. It's going to mess up the water systems of Georgia. It's going to mess up the lakes and the rivers. And, you know, now people don't have gas. They're going to get, you know, some people are going to get fired because they can't make it work.
Yes.
You know?
Why was this not on the news?
Dude, yeah, like, I read an article about it. That's how much it's getting. You know, that's as much as it's getting out there. Like, that's just not okay, man. And here we have California. Hey, we'll subsidize your solar panels. Like, what the heck, man? You know, we need some change around here.
We all need to be on the same page about, you know, the state of the entire earth. Because I think that's so great for people, for, like, the government to say, like, hey, this is now a necessity for all of us to, you know, make the change that's needed.
Mm-hmm.
We need to, you know, put initiatives out there to have solar panels. I actually had read about that before because I'm considering different internships with sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that in California. And, like, that's mind-blowing that other states just aren't, you know, cooperating. And not just cooperating, but, you know, caring about the citizens. That's so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, and with the solar panels and the renewable energy, which I think is one of the biggest issues that, you know, America has, is its unwillingness to, you know, have renewable resources. I'm doing a project in my political communication class, and it's about different issues. So I chose, with my group, we did renewable energy and how it relates to human consumption. And I was trying to get different statistics and try and connect it back to Kentucky and Berea College. But just to throw a few facts out there, so the United States only has 5% of the world population, but it uses like 18% of the world's total energy usage.
Wow.
And only 7.9% of that energy comes from renewable resources.
Wow.
Yes, and this was in like 2015 or 13. I think it's 15 because I got it off the EPA website.
Mm-hmm.
So, only 7, I'll round up. 8%. 8% of our energy comes from renewable resources so far. And it's like, we're so dependent on coal and natural gas. It's crazy. But I actually did some research, and I kind of wanted to quantify, like, the amount of energy that Berea College used last year into something that's understandable. Because, like, if you look at all these kilowatt hours, it's like, okay, that doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah.
So what I did was I connected it back to, I should have connected it back to pounds of coal, because that's the majority of what Kentucky uses.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's 87% of Kentucky's energy comes from coal.
Wow.
Yeah. So I should have connected it back to coal, because that's where, you know, Berea's energy is coming from.
That's like 90%, dude.
Yeah.
Like, and you start understanding why some people are so against getting rid of those jobs, because they're like, what's the slogan? Kentucky runs on coal or something like that?
Yeah.
Or
coal keeps the lights on.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, you get it from like a working class, you know, environment. People need jobs, and you know, there's not a lot available. But the thing is, you know, it's gonna shoot us in the foot long term.
Mm-hmm.
If we were starting to maybe slowly wean off of it, and you know, provide other jobs that are in more like sustainable things,
yes,
and more sustainable energy, you know, we could offshoot, you know, in the long term, you know, the loss of jobs, and also, you know, the loss of our environment.
Yes. Like, you know, we kind of want to live on this planet for, you know, a foreseeable future.
Exactly.
But yeah, we could totally just have like green jobs. Like the amount of jobs that are created, like somebody has to install those solar panels.
Yeah.
Like that totally creates jobs. So, you know, coal and pipelines are not the only way to create jobs.
Yeah.
But basically, when I did the calculations, so Berea, not in terms of pounds of coal, but in gallons of natural gas, Berea College used 441 of the 1,500 gallon swimming pools.
Hmm.
So basically, when I looked up how to like convert that, I don't know if you guys have seen the video of the guy filling up the pool with nothing but Coca-Cola.
Whoa.
Well, he did that, and just imagine that, but with natural gas, and Berea College alone used 441 of those just last year.
Wow.
For, you know, our energy.
Hmm.
So, I think that's crazy.
Yeah.
So, that's just one college that has, that's not including, like, the entire state, bigger states, cities,
mm-hmm,
huge universities. Like, I cannot feasibly fathom, like, how much, you know, how many, what that even begins to look like in terms of the amount of natural gases and
mm-hmm
natural resources that we're using to get our energy from. But, yeah, rant over.
For now.
For now.
Right.
So, was that all you had with the sustainable cities?
Yeah, sustainable cities. I also have some tips for sustainable living that we can.
Yes.
You want to hear those?
Yes.
All right, let's put them out there. So I thought this one was really cool. You know, it depends on how willing you are to change a little bit of your daily schedule. But
mm-hmm,
the first one is, you know, create an urban eco pack for yourself when you're out and about. It should include a food container to pick up meals of to-go food at your favorite restaurant. Maybe add utensils or a mug or a specific water bottle you always reuse. And most importantly, just say no to the plastic bag. That's what it says. You know, so, yeah, that's really cool. Like, when I think about, like, how much takeout in, like, a year, I mean, so much styrofoam, like, from just one person. And you think about, like, a whole city or a whole town, you know. But if you had, you know, if you bring your own pack, you know, that has your own, you know, like the green plates that Berea gives us and, you know, the utensils that we reuse, like, that would take so many pounds. And that's just by putting that in your backpack, essentially.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, and, like, it's, you know, some people are like, oh, that's dumb. But it's, like, really, like, it's not. It's not common practice. That way it might, that's why it might look that way. But, no, like, just, I mean, I can imagine, like, so many hundreds of pounds or just of styrofoam are being offset because of you carrying your own to-go box that's reusable plastic or whatever.
Sure.
This one I thought was cool. So if you're washing dishes in the sink and letting the water run, you're wasting tons of hot water. What is suggested is picking up two metal containers. You fill one tub up with hot soapy water And the soap she the author recommended was a brand called Shakley, or another type of eco-friendly, you know, soap. Mm-hmm. Since it's eco-friendly and biodegradable, you fill the other tub, you know, with plain water for rinsing. So you mm-hmm. wash your dishes in one of them, and then you rinse it on the other one. And when you're done, you can dump this to water your plants, essentially. Mm-hmm. Especially if you're using biodegradable soap. That way it won't, yeah. you know, like it won't affect
yeah,
your plants
no
or
chemicals,
anything.
Chemicals.
And I'm just like, oh, that's really cool, you know?
Yeah. Or even if you do use, like, soap in one, you know, the one, well, never mind, because you're rinsing it off, there's still going to be soap in that. Never mind. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Biodegradable soap. Good for watering plants.
Yeah. Also, you can create your own natural cleaning products at home mm-hmm. with a simple recipe. So, like, an all-purpose cleaner would be if you mix 1/2 cup of vinegar and 1/2 cup baking soda into a 1/2 gallon, which is 2 liters, of water. You store and you keep that. You use for removal of water deposit stains on shower stall panels, you know, bathroom, chrome fixtures, windows, bathroom mirrors, you know, to just clean off your table. You can use that as a all-purpose mm-hmm. cleaner that's, you know, eco-friendly. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really cool. Mm-hmm. And, like, these are just so simple if you just do them, you know?
For sure.
Yeah.
It's just, I really like the one about the reusable stuff
mm-hmm.
because that, I don't know. One thing that I've really been meaning to do is getting, like, a reusable bag.
Mm-hmm.
And that could easily, like, I know some of my friends have them and they just, like, keep them in their car and they use it to, like, collect trash. And I'm like, well, what if I had one of those and I just kept, like, you know, the stuff I need to, like, do takeout and, like,
mm-hmm.
I know I recently bought my roommate a Starbucks cup for her birthday. And she's like, I keep meaning to take this to Starbucks because Starbucks, you know, will, like, fill up
yeah.
your cup. Because, I mean, they have their own, I mean, you don't necessarily have to use their cup, but, like, you know, if you use this reusable cup instead of using, like, the plastic one, they'll just make it in your own cup.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think that's really awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we only have about, like, 5 minutes left. We can always end a little bit early today, but I just kind of want to preview. Do you have anything else to say?
No, I'm pretty much done. Yeah, just those, you know, those initiatives in the major cities and those
awesome.
Tips, you know?
Awesome, yeah. Definitely take those into consideration. Well, I am super excited this weekend because I know I announced this last week, or not last week because we missed last week, unfortunately. I'm so sorry, guys. But the week before that, I believe, I don't know, one of the weeks I was talking about an entrepreneurship for the public good trip that is actually going on this weekend. I thought it was last weekend, but it wasn't, and I got really sad. But I got to go on an SGA trip, so I was happy about that. But I'm going to Nashville this weekend, and I get to ride in a solar-powered bike.
Dude, yes.
Like, so, you know, hilly areas like in San Francisco, you know, nobody wants to bike up that. So you can use, like, the solar panel that's installed in the bike. So you can, you know, bike up the hill and then pedal, like, going down and in more flatter areas. So I'm super excited to try that out. And I'm definitely going to come back and tell you guys about it. And
mm-hmm.
I'm really excited to see, like, the business model as well and see what the how the person was inspired to actually go about, like, starting that. So that's one thing to be prepared for next week.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all I have, if that's all you have, Alejandro.
Yeah, that's all I got for now.
Okay. Well, thank you guys for listening, and we will see you next week on People Profit Planet.